Welcome to your free Quest DAX audio service. Please enter a four-digit code. Welcome to the Eyewitness News 4 information line, Albuquerque's most complete telephone information guide. For the latest local news, press 1. This local news will be updated in the near future. Please call back. Welcome to the Eyewitness News 4 information line, Albuquerque's most complete telephone information guide. For the latest local news, press 1. For the pinpoint forecast, press 2. This local weather will be updated in the near future. Please call back. Welcome to the Eyewitness News 4 information line, Albuquerque's most complete telephone information guide. For the latest local news, press 1. For the pinpoint forecast, press 2. For Eyewitness Sports, press 3. This local sports will be updated in the near future. Please call back.
Cigarettes, because it's late at night and we're recording. And I, you know what? I got to thank you guys up front this time. Thank you, Bland. Thank you, Stank. I'm Jewel. I'm joined by Bland and Stank. What's up, guys?
Yo, yo. Nothing much.
All right. Do you want a cigarette too, Bland?
Oh yes, I do.
Okay, but we're refraining, are we not?
Oh, I'm saving myself for about Friday 6-ish.
Yes, that is when I will land the DFW, and all hell will break loose.
Women and sheep.
That's right. Bland and Duel together for the first time. We're saving ourselves for each other. So we can smoke together afterwards.
Afterwards.
This is Radio Freak America. The show you love to listen to. The show you contribute to. I'm going to begin this show, this fine show this evening, with an email. Actually, this email, an international email, from Norway. And I'm going to butcher his handle. How would you guys pronounce this? B0EF. I think Bland said both earlier, right?
Both.
I like both. So we'll say that.
He'll correct us.
He writes.
Or she.
Yeah, that's true. This person writes... Dear sir, wait, this must not be for me. Dear sir, I enjoy RFA very much and I listen to it all the time. There are some issues, however, that don't seem to be resolved ever. The naming convention for the files are in a convention that makes them bad in a directory listing when they get to greater numbers. The current conversion only is good for episodes up to 99 and looks bad for those under 10. The month, day, year is a convention that ISO and other standards bodies wants us to stay away from, and besides, it's not good in a directory listing, for that matter, any listing at all. A convention like year, month, day is a convention that is well accepted by all standards bodies and a convention that is acceptable to people. It also gives a nice listing with the years first, the month at the end, then the month, and at the end, the day. A name like RFA2003.0929.org would be a nice, and note the .org there would be a nice name. The show In the Now follows this naming convention. Maybe it would be proper to change to this convention when you get to episode 100. The second is the encodings of the file. You're using a format that requires a patented algorithm to be read. A show about freedom should be more enlightened and aware of the threats of software patents, which is a threat to the development of free software. SeekGNU.org and FFI.org to read about the threats of software patents. An encoding like Vorbis, usually shipped in an OGG container, is not patented and is widely acceptable. All sound formats encoders are able to play these kinds of encoded files by means of a plugin. I also want to say that it's a great show, and I hope it never ends. Thank you for your time and your service, both. Thank you very much for the email. I definitely appreciate it. Let us, right now, right freaking out, address all these points. And actually, I'll probably end up making some kind of announcement after we address all that. Actually, that will be the end product. I'll make an announcement that will address everything. I'm actually going to tell a little story first, a little adventure I had this weekend. And hold on a second, let me mix my, I've got a protein drink going here, no water, right? Since I'm not smoking, I might as well drink something semi-healthy. Hold on a second. Now, I found that I prefer orange juice with the vanilla protein powder. I find that best. So, this weekend, I did a little messing around with Linux, as I'm prone to do. And I wanted to, you know what, I'm sick of Windows, totally. And what do I use Windows for? I record the show, mix it, and stream. That's Windows for me. Everything else I do on Linux. I want to be free, utterly, totally free. And I will be free, mind you. I will be free. So I started messing with, I use Audacity in Windows, so I started messing with Audacity for Linux. 1.0 something, it's the one version. You can get RPMs at audacity.sourceforge.net as well as the Tarball. I'm using Red Hat after for the RPMs. So you get the Audacity RPM, and then you get all the RPMs that would resolve dependencies. I think it's a libog, libvorbis, and WXGTK. The last one installed just fine. And then, of course, I had problems with the others. So what I did is I removed the OGG and Vorbis libraries that I had on my box, installed the older ones, right? They're like RC3s, you know, and I'm using 104 or something, whatever came with Red Hat 9, and then installed Audacity, and everything worked fine. Audacity worked. Well, that worked. Well, no, that didn't even work. I'll get to that. It worked for a period of time. But doing that broke playing OGGs in XMMS. And I think it even broke my CD burning. I'm not sure. I don't know if there's a correlation or not, but it ended up working after I fixed everything. And as I said, Audacity worked for a time. Yeah, well, about 10 seconds. Maybe it would segfault left and right. I'd record something, stop, play it back, and it would crash all the time, without a doubt. So it wasn't going to work. And I was bummed. I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I was looking at Muse, right? Actually, Bland told me about Muse. It's a MIDI recorder, and it looks pretty advanced. I was like, I don't know if that's what I want. It looked like too much for what I need. So then I decided to look at, before I get to what I grabbed, I had to fix everything, right? So I uninstalled all that crap. I got the latest libog and libvorbis libraries. Installed those, fixed everything. I can play OGGs and XMMS again. Burning works. If there was a correlation, it works now. So everything is cool. Then I grabbed Rezound. R-E-Z-O-U-N-D. And it's beautiful. It's really nice. I don't know how to use it all yet, but it works well. And install, everything works nice. I'm going to start playing with that more and more. I'm going to learn how to use Rezound in Linux. And by F100, here's the announcement, and by F100, you will have Radio Freak America 100% Linux, 100% OGG. We've been thinking about this for a long time. Both just brought it to the forefront. In fact, I think just recently we discussed the naming convention, I think because of F76. And Rax brought it up a long time ago. He said, well, it'll, you know, this convention right here will get us to F100, you know, if the show will ever last that long. It looks like it will. It looks like it will. I know it will. And by 100, and I'll decide on what kind of naming convention we'll start then, whether we'll roll it over and start again and see if we go to 200, or we'll start, you know, using RFA and then the year, month, and day. But by then, I know I will have Resound nailed down, and it convert. What's really nice is it converts to AUGs right there. So I've got to work MP3s in and stuff like that, you know, because I get most of my music from that. I don't know if I can rip to AUGs straight, but I've got to learn all that stuff on Linux. I it's all brand new to me, and I will learn it. And by 100, you will have straight up AUGs, and everybody can play. He's right, or she's right. You get the full version of Winamp 291. You can play AUGs. Of course, XMMS, you can play AUGs. You don't have to fix anything in Red Hat 9 to play AUGs, right? It's straight out of the box. So it will be nice. It will be fun. You know, I was listening. What was it? The BBC. They would stream their news in AUGs, you know. I don't know how. Quite a while ago, I believe. And they used to listen to that. AUGs are great. You can get Gamer, right? Gamer Radio in AUGs.
Right, I was getting ready to remind that they've been putting out AUG files for a while.
Yeah, he's been putting MD5 hashes on there as well. I don't quite understand that, but I guess so. You know, you get the right file, right? The right download. So, and that's... I'm sorry?
RIP, by the way, will RIP to AUG.
What will?
RIP.
Oh, it will?
It's my Linux river of choice.
Sorry, I was taking a drink. So there we go. That's one more piece of the puzzle. So I think that's a pretty big announcement. I think that's very cool. I'm very happy that everything worked well, and I can't wait. You know, I'll rebuild my box totally from scratch to get rid of the Windows side. Or, you know, better yet, I'll just I'll stick a Linux distro on that partition, and I'll do dual boot some other Linux distro. That'll be my test partition. It's going to be so nice. I cannot wait to be free. I cannot wait. I can taste it. It tastes like orange cream. Oh, that's my protein. No, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I don't know if that sounds funny or not. Let me tell a little story here. Another little story. Again, happened this weekend. You know, first of all, this is kind of funny. You know, people say, oh, you spend too much time on the computer. Yeah, and then guess what? They want you to fix theirs, right? Isn't that kind of ironic? Anyways, this person wanted Windows on their computer. Windows. Yeah, you know, whatever. People got it. You know, they got to use. And I was so frustrated. Before I had finished the installation, it had locked up once and crashed once, blue screen once. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. I just, it's never happened in Linux. Everything's gone. I just, you know, unless... you know, maybe the via processor. I've got a box of the via processor, and some distros don't run on it straight out of the box. And that's totally understandable. It's a different architecture. Yeah, it's supposed to be x86 compatible. Well, guess what? It's probably not. You know, it's not an x86, right? It's not an Intel processor. And then, oh, this was the worst. And I don't know why I've never encountered this before. Probably because I deleted this icon, the setup MSN crap, like immediately. But I tried to, you know, do the internet connection wizard to get them on the net the first time, and it always launched MSN. Right, to sign up for MSN, you must have a modem, and oh my god, that pissed me off. And I didn't know what to do. It wouldn't go away. Fuck. And then finally, I deleted the icon and it went away. And I got, you know, oh man, it was unbelievable. To even have something like that on your computer, something that you just paid for, right? And what about some poor Joe Schmo? He's like, oh my god, I've got to have MSN. What's the, you know, they're stuck. It's unbelievable. I cannot wait to be free. It's unbelievable. Some guy, I was telling Bland this, some guy today was arguing with me that Linux is, oh, it's going out like Unix. It's dead. It's old technology, blah, blah, blah. You know, and there was just no logic. I was just so flabbergasted. I couldn't even think. I was just like, oh my god, what is he saying? Wait, you know what? I'll tell everybody this. I'm taking, and I know I'm jumping around, but I got to get this out. This is my ninth event, okay? It's late, I want to smoke, I'm Benny. I'm taking a Windows Server 2000 class, right? Windows Server Management, I think, is the tour. And it's boring as all hell, it's slow, it's frustrating, whatever. To me, tell me if I'm wrong, guys. To me, it's like, it might as well be an OS2 administrator's class. You know it? Is it just me, or do you foresee the end of Windows? Its life has ended. Am I wrong?
They're grabbing at straws, definitely.
Oh, big time. They're so good. You got to speak up, LeBlanc. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's... It's death, dude. It is so dead. And to have this guy, you know, with no logic, tell me that, you know, Linux is dead, you know, when it started out as somebody's hobby 10 years ago, and look how far it's come. It's running the internet, right? There are enterprise-class Linux distributions now. To say that it's on its way out, to say that something is free and open source is going away, is absurd. Why are people wasting their time and resources on buggy, insecure code?
I think it's probably fear. The guy doesn't know anything about Linux. He probably tried to use it once and failed. And his way of coping with the fact that he doesn't want to have to cope with Linux is by trying to make himself believe that it's going away.
Boy, that's probably pretty accurate. You know what else he said? And you know what? Maybe this is it. He said something about, that cumbersome command line. It's so much better. When I got to clicking on stuff, I was so happy. All I had to do was click something and got it done. Oh my God! I couldn't speak! I'm serious. I was just like, is not the command line the most efficient, powerful, fast way to do anything? Am I wrong? Okay. Tell me. Lightning strike me down now. Okay, everybody, I'm going to die right now. I'm still alive. Oh, my God. But you know what I should say? Okay, buddy, whatever. I've got a Pentium 2 laptop, right? 266 megahertz. Hot rod. Put XP on it. Go ahead. Here you go. Run XP. Do anything. Get on the net. Try it. Nothing would happen. He wouldn't get anywhere. I've got Red Hat 9 on it right now. Running great. Sure, my default run level is 3. What? Whoop! Here's a GUI. I got another GUI right here. Look at all. I got Galleon, dude. I got Dilla. Whatever you want. Fuck! What the fuck? There's no fucking logic there. No fucking logic. Not to mention, how about the bottom freaking line that it costs no money? No money.
I'd love that.
Yeah, hell yeah. I just, God.
If I may, for a moment,
please,
on something I mentioned on BinRev episode 11, Microsoft has pushed back the launch date, the release date for Longhorn. It was supposed to have come out. They've already pushed it back a couple times. Now it looks like it's going to be well into 2006 before they release it.
Huh, what happens in 2006?
Well, that's how convenient that you asked that question, a setup question. That just so happens to be when the case against Microsoft, the antitrust case against Microsoft, is supposedly going to expire. Convenient that they push it back after that date. Now they can start integrating once again.
Isn't that nice?
You know, for the people. But, you know, the bigger point, the reason I brought it up now, I was actually going to follow up on that later, but the reason it applies now is because, hey, I think the longer they push it back, that's great. That's better, because if it doesn't come out till 2006 now, that is another 2+ years that Linux has to get in, get a foothold, and convert people over. The longer that they take to put that out, the more people are going to get tired of the current system, the current crashes, and they're going to look for alternatives. We have 2 years to push Linux out to the world, to the common people, to the everyday people. We have 2 years now to get it into households and try to actually make it not just a power user tool, not just a hacker tool, not just a geek. We can push this, and I think we can finally get a real foothold into American households in the next 2 years. And Microsoft's strategy of waiting until this thing expires so they can start integrating once again, I've read some of the stuff they're integrating into this next version, and believe me, three words, digital rights management. I'm
that.
That's 2 years that we have to get Linux out there, and they may shoot themselves in the foot by dragging their feet, taking too long.
Yeah, amen. You know what? I don't think we'll have to push it. I think it will be accepted, widely accepted.
Well,
even more so than it is now. And not because of the recent worms, right, that have hit everybody and crippled, you know, gigantic corporations. I mean, how stupid would you feel? Fuck! To be crippled by some dude, right, who writes a warm for this operating system, next one, it's been out for a month, and just shuts shit down, I would feel like a fucking idiot. I would feel like a moron. You know, I have millions of people. Fuck! Oh my god! What did you think? Oh, boy. Man.
Somebody asked.
I could have saved a lot of fucking money and not had to deal with all this shit, huh? I would have had to pay.
The officer got a pat on the back and a raise for prompt response to that virus somewhere, too. How did that make you feel?
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Fuck, man. Fuck, if we would have had Linux, we would have saved a lot of money and wouldn't have had to, you know, had, you know, a couple hundred people, you know, 100, 200 people working on this, you know, to fix it. And fuck, yeah, well. Oh, well. When's the next patch coming out? Oh, like next week? Fuck. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what? You could save more money by hiring somebody, right? Hiring a little programming crew to audit code, right? Because you can look at it. If you don't trust it, no, pay these people to check it out. To code your own programs, right? To write custom installers, to do all this shit, all that. Instead of spending all that money on administering Windows sides, right? And patching and helping users, you know, when all their shit crashes and they can't burn a CD with XP's built-in software. And I mean, you can't get that right, for crying out loud. I've used XP, and it sucks, by the way. And the built-in, right, everything's integrated. You do everything here. It does everything for you. That really fucking annoys me. God, that grates on my nerves. And the CD burning software, you would think it'd be pretty straightforward, did not work in the least.
Integrated though.
yeah, that's a good thing. You know, somebody who's really smart, somebody who just talking to I feel smarter, said to me, that's one of the things I like about GNU Linux, is that it's kind of modular. Modular, right? It's a lot of these smaller programs that do their job and do it well.
That's not a concept that Microsoft knows. They just know bloatware.
Right.
Packing it on, keep packing it on. Somebody might want it. Somebody might need it. Well, what about the majority of us who don't?
Right.
We get one with a smaller footprint. Can we get, like, Microsoft Word Lite? You know, can we get, like, Windows XP Lite?
Yeah, Abby Word, maybe? Much? Huh?
Can I unintegrate?
Yeah, no. Fuck. And, you know, can I tell you how many times I have tried to upgrade my box, right, that Windows Update shit? Windows Update, right? I do it. I build a box, whatever. Windows Update. Here we go. Ah, all right. I'm going to be secure, fast, safe. Yeah, all right. Click. Haha. Thanks. Right. Crash! Fucks my box, dude. Their own shit would fuck my box up. God, that would piss me off so bad. And you spent so long fucking rebooting your box 6 times for shit to work. Fuck. By the way, and that smart, wise person was Bland, and he said that to me tonight, so.
Oh, thank you.
Did you catch that, Bland? I hope you did.
Okay, good. That's why I didn't respond to that. I was like, you know, I'm just going to let that one go.
What the fuck, man? Take it, man.
Why don't you guys hurry up and just make sweet love down by the...
We will, dude. We're going to...
Hey, you know, yeah. I was... When I went to do the... You know, I had Roxio, Easy CD Creator 5.0 Platinum, that I purchased from my local software place.
Mm-hmm.
so then I upgraded to XP, and I went to, you know, I was like, oh, sweet, it's got an integrated CD burner, tight. So I probably went to linuxiso.org to download a proper distro, and I was like, okay, sweet. So I burned did the thing, right-clicked it, send to drive E. I was like, well, you know, here's the ISO, going to send it to Drive E, it's going to burn the ISO, and, you know, now I'll have Nofix. Burned it, and lo and behold, the integrated burner does not burn ISOs.
What?
Yeah. So I was like, well, fuck it, I've got my retail OEM copy of 5.0 Platinum. So I put that in, installed it, installed great. All of a sudden, I have no E drive.
What?
I'm like, well, I guess I'll just do the old Windows standby and reboot. So I reboot, and it comes up, device or drive disabled. I'm like, oh, fuck my ass, already. Been using XP for like 45 minutes. Yeah. Lo and behold, Roxio products do not work on XP.
No.
I was like, well, this is kind of shitty.
Kinda.
I'm looking around, doing a little Google mining for Roxio for this internal CD burner. Lo and behold, the fucking thing is made by Roxio.
Oh my god.
It's Roxio technology that's integrated again into Windows XP. They licensed it from Roxio.
So why the fuck would it break their own products? You know, XP is the easiest, most powerful Windows yet.
Where do you want to go today?
Fuck!
Well, here's the hell of it. I reinstall XP, because, frankly, Windows wasn't worth my time to fuck with and uninstall everything, so, I just reinstalled it. Why not? So, going around, looking around, finding out how I'm going to burn an ISO in XP, because I'm not paying for anything. I paid for my copy of fucking Easy CD Creator, so I'm not going to pay for a copy of Nero or anything else. And lo and behold, a guy, a programmer, wrote his own, he scripted his own power tool that will allow you to burn ISOs with that shitty inbuilt burner.
Really?
I downloaded it. It wasn't even a self-installing EXE. He coded it straight MSI. So right-click it, installed it, and now, thanks to his 200K, that program, that inbuilt CD burner is functional.
Wow.
And it wasn't the $50 bazillion fucking Microsoft programming team. It was a dude that saw some functionality that some software needed, and he wrote it, and he gave it away to the world.
Wow, that sounds like something we've all heard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's so you can't tell me that Linux is fucking dying, because that's the concept of Linux. Is that you do something that you love, you do something that people need, and then you give it to the people that fucking need it.
Yeah, and guess what? You can make money at it, too.
Yeah, you can, but, a lot of it's just for love of the machine.
Well, of course it is. There's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong with trying to make a buck. I mean, people got to make a living, and obviously, you're right, Flynn, we need to stress that. People do it for the love. But and this actually comes from Darryl McBride's latest open letter, right? And talking about, you must, blah, 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 you must follow the business standards and do what the large customers want to survive. Well, no, that's not true. You need the love that Glenn was talking about. But if you want to make money at it, you can. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can make a living with open source software.
I would have sent the guy $10 if he'd asked for it. He'd be like, look, if you like my program, if I did something for Windows that Microsoft couldn't do, here's my PayPal, send me $10, and I would have done it. I would have paid for that functionality because, shit, what did I pay, $300 for XP?
Oh my god, no way! Is that, it's really that much?
Yeah, but it was OEM. I bought a laptop, my Red Hat box, and
right.
It came with XP. And so anytime I buy a new computer and it comes with a version of Windows that I don't have, because damned if I'm paying for a Windows distro. Fuck a lot of that. I'll buy a new computer that comes with a new distro before I buy that.
Damn.
So, it came with XP, and so I, put it on my thin hardware. And, it's like $300 at Best Buy.
Damn. I had no idea. That's weird. I had no idea. Isn't it funny, and you mentioned rebooting, isn't it humorous? Like, something's wrong with Windows, It's like, what do you do? You're just kind of zipping around. It's like, fuck, so you, reboot and hope it fixes it, isn't that funny?
I just hope it comes the fuck back up.
Straight up, it's just so humorous. It's so funny. Fuck.
I'm scared to reboot anymore.
Yeah, you've had some troubles. All right, I think you. Thank you, Plan. By the way, you put that very both of you. You put everything into perspective. In the middle of my swearing and ranting. I think we bash enough on Microsoft, and I know everyone listening to the show. Knows the value of open source, so. And, if my swearing and cussing and ranting will help, I'm going to keep doing it.
What?
And if it doesn't, I still keep, because it pisses me off. And if it pisses me off, you're going to hear about it.
Maybe we are preaching to the choir.
Probably.
No, but maybe we should take this directly to the source. Maybe we should ring up Microsoft one of these fine days and let them know.
I concur.
As a matter of fact, if we get time later on, I still have to activate my copy of XP.
Oh, I'm dying to activate that. We got to do it. We've got to record that.
Because, you know, God forbid you pay $300 for something and it just works. But now they're going to give you horse shit. And now, you know, they've got operators standing by. I think I called them about 5:30 one morning and activated my copy. And the later it gets, the cooler the people are. you call them about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, hey, what's your code? You give it to them, they're like, yeah, sure, what the fuck? Here's your activation key. But you call them up at 5 or 6 p.m., and they're like, oh, well, this key has been used. I was like, yeah, well, you know, shit crashes a lot because it's a crappy OS. And they're like, well, okay, we can fill that. How many computers is it on? Is it on one, or is it on more than one?
Yeah.
Like, one, I wouldn't have that fucking OS on any more than I have to have it. Fair enough. Here's your key.
Asses.
No, you should answer, gee, I don't know how many computers it's on. It's on the fucking internet.
That's right. I don't know. I put it up on Kazaa a long time ago.
So I guess it's two? I don't know. What's
you call up and hook the Microsoft people and three-way them in on the call to the anti-piracy hotline. Let them talk to each other.
You know, that's kind of like a slap in the face. That's like that trailer, right? The you know, Redbeard trailer in front of the, you know, the Medallion movie. That's kind of like a slap in the face. You pay that much money for this OS where the CD burning doesn't even work. And then you have to waste your time. You have to, like, call up or I think, can you do it on the internet? I think you can, right? And waste your time doing that kind of crap, you know?
Yeah.
They're smacking you in the face. That's what they're doing. Everybody using Windows right now, you're getting smacked in the freaking face. I'm getting smacked in the face right now. They're spitting on you. Thanks for the money, punk. Bitch. That's what they're saying. Thanks for the money, bitch.
Now that story you told last week, I don't like to rehash stuff from old episodes, but I'm really glad to hear that you got walked out of that. You don't pay. It's bad enough if they rape you with the prices of going to see a movie. That you have no control over it, that they're going to put out these films and charge you these outrageous amounts. But I am sorry. I am not paying that outrageous amount to go see your fucking propaganda film.
No shit, man.
Not do it. If I see one, I swear to God, and I can do this. I have the willpower to do this. If I go into a theater, first of all, they've been showing way too many commercials. They're not even trailers. Yeah, I like watching trailers at the beginning of a movie. But now they're playing commercials at the beginning of the movie, this damn Coca-Cola commercials and stuff.
Chrysler.
Propaganda? Oh, no. I'm not having it. I will walk out and demand my money back and explain why. And if enough people, even a few people, do that, the movie theaters are going to say, damn, maybe we should just start playing the movies.
Yeah, maybe if you did that to a manager, that would happen. I mean, if you just go to the, you know, the high school kids running the booths or whatever, they'll just, you know, they won't know what you're talking about. But, yeah, maybe if you go to a manager and do that, that might make a difference.
What do you think about this? What do you think about organizing a group of people to go in? When it comes up, as a group, you get up and walk out. Now, it's obviously organizing a group of strangers to do that are trying to convince them to leave the movie they came to see is impossible. But what if you were to get, like, at your 2600 meeting, the large group of people to go, and when that comes up, all of you walk out, form a line, and say, yes, I like my money back because you played propaganda. And then the next person, yes, I like my money. They can't refuse you.
Right.
Don't think to give you your money back. And now it's the last minute. They can't fill those seats back up again because the movie's already started.
Well, I like that. That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
Have I gone over the concept of why there are commercials? Have I done this on RFA yet?
Not that I recall.
Okay. Let me explain to everybody, to all the listeners, this is really how you're getting fucked. This is how commercials came to be. In the beginning, there was radio. And radio was free. Now, not the reason it was free, but it was free for everybody to listen to. You could listen to it all you wanted, didn't have to pay a dime. So the advertisers, you know, companies, saw, well, hey, we have a captive audience here, so we'd like to buy time in between your shows to sell our product, pimp our wares. And that was a good idea, and everyone sat through it, and it was cool. You know, and if anyone bitched, it was like, well, you know what, it's free. So you can listen to, you know, two and two every once in a while, and you'll be fine. So that was, and it was all good. Then came television. Television was free. They had to make money somehow, because a TV station is a lot more, you know, cost prohibitive, especially in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s. So then they sold slots for television commercials. And that's how TV stations made their money. And that's fine, because the end product was free. Now in the days of, you know, how many channels I have? 550, something like that. I get commercials on all those channels, even though I'm paying for it. That's fine, because, you know, that's the standard, long in place. You know, our time to bitch about that has come and gone. We're stuck with the television commercials. However, you go to a movie, you pay, you know, $8 for a movie, and then you get to the concession stand, you're like, man, those Twizzlers look good. You have financial fucking aid. Pose there, and then you go in, and you're a captive audience that you've already paid for the privilege to sit in that beer fart chair for 2 hours and watch a movie, and you're getting inundated with commercials. That's violating the social contract. The social contract is you get something for free, you get to watch the advertising. That has been the standard for, you know, 60, 70 years now. Now, we go to a movie, and we're getting hosed, you know, nine ways from Sunday, and we still have to watch the fucking commercials.
Yep, bullshit.
So, commercials, you know, the social contract is, you know, you get something for free, you get to watch the advertising, because they get to make money, and there's nothing evil or criminal about making money. That's fine. But there is something evil and criminal about making me pay for something, about making me pay to watch you make money. That's fucked.
Big time.
I think my movie theater has a layaway plan now for the snack bar.
Outstanding.
Nice. Very nice.
Good movie. I get to have a small cup, small cola.
You know, if I was going to see, like, Underworld's coming out, I'd really like to see that movie. You know, would I be willing to, you know, to pay my money and then walk out if I see an advertisement? Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe I would.
I will. I want to see that movie a lot, too, but I'll walk right the fuck out.
Yeah, whether it be that MPAA propaganda or you know, a Jeep commercial. That's what I've seen.
You know what we'll do? We'll walk out, go home. I'm not going to condone it, but you could walk out, go home, download it, and watch it at home.
Yeah, you could. You know,
but I'm just saying people could do that.
Yeah, people could. You know what? In this Windows Server Management class, one bro in there hooked me up, dude. Because, you know, I don't have a DVD drive, let alone a burner. I don't have any, you know, stacks of MP3s, you know. Just the gigs of MP3s. Stacks, yeah. See, I have CDs, man. I'm telling you, I buy my CDs. Not anymore, mind you. He hooked me up. He's like, yeah, I'm all into this backing up my DVDs thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I would like to learn about that. And he did. He taught me. He taught me the way. It's pretty cool. I'm thinking about buying a DVD burner. And after the medallion, I really want to buy a DVD burner. After all the RIAA lawsuits, I would really like to back up all those CDs that I've purchased. Seriously. I'd really like to do that. And I might.
And you have a right to.
I have a right to, and I just may do it.
No, and a lot of listeners may know, and if not, I'll remind them that I started taking a cyber law class recently. And one of our topics, one of the big topics in that class is copyright. I, of course, played the opposite hand of what they were trying to force down our throats. And I have to admit, the instructor was pretty open-minded about some things. But just, I thought you guys might actually find this listening as well, might find this interesting as well as the listeners. I, after going through a little rant about how it's not the user's fault and it's not the decline of morals and common everyday people and how they brought that on themselves as the decline of morals in the business community that started the whole thing. But I won't go into that rant. But what I found interesting was I actually turned to the class and posed the question, and I said, you know what? I said, if I may, I had, just out of curiosity, there's about a dozen people in this class. It's a small class. I said, just out of pure curiosity, let's be honest, how much do you think everyday consumers, students in a classroom, what do you think is a fair price to pay for a music CD in a store? I turned to these class, to my classmates, I turned to these people in the class, and I asked them that simple question. And these are people that they're not big pirates. They're normal consumers. I'm sure they know about MP3s. I'm sure that some of them probably have downloaded. Some of them have probably maybe burned a CD or two. But these are your typical average everyday students. And the range of prices, I don't know if you want, I won't make you guess. I'll just come out and tell you.
I wanted to guess.
All right, guess.
I would give a price straight off the bat, $9.99, man. $10.
I disagree. I don't think it's worth that much myself. But
I'm saying about half the price of a DVD.
My suggestion, and I waited until everyone else made their comment before I put my price in because I didn't want to bias my audience. And it turns out they all were pretty close to what I think. I think, because we know how much blank DVDs cost, blank CDRs cost. They cost nothing. And let's be generous and say they cost a quarter. We know that you can do labels and print off color printer and inkjet for nothing at home. Now, it's not the same as the high quality you'd buy in the store, but you can do that, and let's be generous and say that costs 50 to 75 cents. You know, there's a buck. Then, of course, the music and the musicians getting paid and that distribution and that kind of stuff, we know that costs money. I think a fair price for a new CD in the store should be, in my personal stank dog opinion, $5. If it was $5, I think you could still make money, the companies could still make money, and if it was, I would buy a lot of CDs. I love music. I would buy 5, 6, 7 CDs each month probably.
Yeah, well, I'm not a manufacturing engineer, but I'll play one on the radio. $5 sounds a little low. You'd have to have a big, big quantity for that. Probably, you know, we're talking, you know, M&M kind of quantity there.
Well, you know, that's rare. There's a saying they teach you in marketing and college, and that's called the consumers dictate the price. The market dictates the price. Well, the rest of my classmates, their guesses, again, before I said my comment, their guesses, the highest was $6. Everybody said either 4, 5, or 6. Every one of these people in this class, and again, these are everyday people. This is the market. I did market research. If there's somebody listening, I did your market research in my class, unbiased class, average everyday person. They pay 4 to 6.
Do you know, I read the report on this last month. Do you know what the average retail price of a CD is?
$17.
$12.
$12.
I don't know if that factors in, like, old CDs and notched CDs and the old $5.99 discount bins. And
it does. That's how they skew it. It counts in all the cutout CDs. It factors in all the budget CDs.
Which they're not even supposed to resell cutout CDs.
Yeah.
You know, I just read something, I think it was on Slashdot, about comparing the success of DVD sales to the decline of CD sales. And they say, well, look what you get out of a DVD. You get the movie, you get multiple language tracks, you get extras, sometimes you get soundtrack, music, you get bloopers, you get liner notes, you get all this extra stuff, and the average cost was, you know, under $20. And then you look at a CD and you get the album, and, you know, you go to some crappy music store in a mall or something, you could, you know, pay up to $18, you know, and it's very obvious.
Well,
very obvious.
And look at what you just said. I mean, look how much it costs and goes into making a movie. Millions and millions and tens and hundreds of millions of budget, and they can afford to put an entire movie on 2 or 3 disc special edition sets and sell it for less than $20? But you can't do the same for a music CD? That's about some bullshit!
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong?
What they're doing wrong is they're ripping off the consumer, using it to pay for their personal private jet so they can fly to Tahiti for the weekend and get a blowjob from an underage prostitute. That's what they're doing wrong.
And that would be terrible. I would not like that. Yeah, it was kind of hypothetical.
So, the coolest DVD I own, not coolest as in, like, the best movie by a damn sight, I own on DVD, able to get, is the Blair Witch Project 2. Okay?
Why is that the coolest?
No, it's not the... Oh, well, here's what's so cool about it. You know how, you know, on some DVDs, like Fifth Element and stuff like that, you've got widescreen on one side and full screen on the other, right?
Yeah, Johnny Mnemonic's like that. I've got that one.
Yeah, well, Blair Witch 2, on one side is the DVD, and on the other side is the soundtrack.
Very cool.
Instead of charging $12 for it at the store, they put the whole thing on the other side of the DVD, plays in any CD player.
Yeah, I've seen some other movies like that, or the soundtrack that you could play, just the soundtrack without playing the movie, on even on the same side. I've seen that before.
Yeah, but, I mean, this would work in, like, your car CD player.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a fantastic idea. Absolutely. But you know why most don't do that? For example, there's a movie in the theaters, Bad Boys 2. Well, they're not going to put you the free Bad Boys 2 soundtrack on the DVD, not when they can sell it to you for another
$19.99. Right. Very true.
Soundtracks are fucking expensive, too.
They're getting you... You're getting... I'm going to use language. Cover your ears. They're fucking you in both holes. That's what they're doing. That's called double penetration.
Yes, and I do not like double penetration.
I don't like to watch it either.
When you said about your DVDs, I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. My ass-to-mouse collection.
I always hover over it when I go into Best Buy DVDs. I always hover over the Erotic Witch Project, but, you know, I pass by.
All right, we have declined so fast.
I've seen the Bear Winch Project.
That's okay. All right, it's late at night.
The Blair Snatch Project, I think, is what it's called. Yes, it is late at night. It's very late at night, and I want a cigarette still. Quickly, some news. We've got some Wi-Fi. We've got some Linux. And I'm going to get some phone calls in, whether it's a death me or not. We're going to get some phone calls in. First, this is actually a little full disclosure news. That sounds like a porno right there. The business that I went a little, would you call that gray hat or white hat, where I, you know, checked out the router, saw that I could get in, let them know about it.
That's exactly the kind of thing I define as gray hat, because technically you did something that, by the letter of the law, could be interpreted as illegal.
Okay, and Bland, you were saying?
That's pen testing, man.
Yes, I like Bland's. You're right, Tank. I have to agree with you. But hey, man, I did. It was the mute llama kind of thing. They were accepting, and guess what? I went back, and they fixed it. Apparently, and I learned something else. Apparently, that login on that certain router wasn't a login, and there was no password. You know, a null password, no password. It was actually, the login is the password, because now they've fixed it. You would type something in. You would get asterisks instead of the plain text, and it would say incorrect password. Still have infinite tries, though, guys. Let's narrow that down to 3 or maybe some kind of timeout. So they fixed it. That made me feel good. That really made me feel good. The users in the place were doing stuff with FTP and some other things and clear text, but, you know, that's a different story. So that was good news. So you know what? I'll tell you what. Anyway, first of all, if you're going to do anything like that, make sure... I was going to say, you know, make sure you kind of gauge who you're talking to. You know, this is kind of a liberal place, this cafe, this restaurant, you know, with the free Wi-Fi. You know, I like to think I'm kind of a good judge of things like that, characters, you know, what people, you know, to gauge people's reactions. And that's why I did it. I thought, you know what, I think they'll be accepting, I think they'll appreciate it, and they did, and they fixed it. So that's good stuff. If you do that kind of thing, make sure you know what you're doing, or do it anonymously.
I was going to say, or leave them a note if you don't feel comfortable or something like that.
Exactly. Call, you know, Optivert and give them a call.
Change their login to a cute little message. You know?
Yeah, well, but that's more of that access stuff, that gets you into the darker, you know, into the charcoal range, right?
Well, you know, honestly, though, I mean, in all seriousness, it is a really, really good idea to leave the car running and know where the door is.
Huh?
Now, if you walk in and you're like, man, your shit's hosed because I could do anything I wanted to your computer. I didn't, but I could. And if they're like, really, and what is your name?
Gotcha. Straight up.
Car running.
Straight up.
His name is Dual Parallel.
Yeah.
Bitch.
And I owned you.
Yeah.
No. Do the right thing. Do the mute. Now we've got, speaking of Wi-Fi, a little segue here, we've got a little war driving tip from Bland. What happens, Bland, when, well, you go ahead.
Well, I got everything working, you know, war driving up a storm, and I get to, you know, turn the screensaver off in GNOME, everything, you know, make it all kicking, and start war driving. You know, turn on Kismet, got it hopping, got everything up and going. And I would get out in the field, and I would be war driving around, and my screen would, you know, go into like a little sleep mode. I was like, well, this is no good. So I, you know, reach back in the back seat, tap the mouse, or the trackpad, and it came back on. So I'm like, well, no harm done, nifty. Until I look back, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm just not catching anything. I guess everyone must be out for the evening. So I went by a couple of my favorite haunts, places that I knew were up at all hours of the night, and couldn't pick up anything. And so I sat there and I looked at my, you know, on Kismet, it's got the channel, you know, what your current channel status is. And I looked, and lo and behold, the damn thing quit hopping. So when you have any sort of timeout at all, Kismet stops hopping. That's just, it freezes on the channel that it went to sleep in, and there's no way to resurrect it unless you reboot. And you don't really want to reboot when you're war driving because, you know, you could accidentally get access on something. And so you don't want to do that, so you're going to drive out in the middle of fucking nowhere and reboot your box and, you know, then go back and do your war driving. By then you wasted half a gallon of gas. So for me, it was a BIOS setting. So if anyone else is having this problem, just, you know, go into your BIOS, and there'll be that advanced power management. Just go in, turn it off, tell it, you know, if it says how many minutes to wait before the monitor shuts off, you know, tell it never. Tell it never on everything, and it should be fine.
That's right. And go ahead and buy yourself a really good quality car battery and a really nice inverter, right? Something with a lot of watts, and you'll be set for life. Turn all that APMD crap off and get a high-end inverter. You'll be happy, very happy. Some more Linux stuff. A new Nmap came out with...
How cool is that?
Oh, it's so awesome. With versioning, that's right. It will tell you what version the service is. That is awesome. I think it's a 3.4.5, is that correct?
I don't remember offhand, actually.
Yeah, well, it's phenomenal. Bland's been testing it, and it works very well. Does it not, Bland?
Oh, yeah, it works. It works completely as advertised.
Yeah, very nice. So, huge shouts. Huge, huge shouts, Fjordor. There's also a new SSH vulnerability out, but it's, what'd you say, Bland? It's not that bad?
It's not rooting your shit or anything. It's basically a denial of service. If I read it correctly, it overwrites the session into null. So it's not really that you can inject any code in there because it's all null.
Right.
But, it's already patched. If you're that worried about getting DOS in SSH, just go and download the patch. For me, it was apt-get upgrade.
What was it again?
Apt-get upgrade.
Ah, the complicated, complex apt-get upgrade. Isn't that so nice?
I love apt for RPM. It's such a good thing. It's so much better than the Red Hat net buttfuck.
Yeah, that Red Hat network, it seems so fragile to me, you know? It's like, oh, God, I hope it's almost like, it's kind of like the Windows update. Not as bad, because I know it won't break my box at least, but it's just like, oh man, I hope it works, I hope everything goes well, but actually it has. You know, I gotta say, using Red Hat 9 now, and I tried it, and it worked, and I'm very happy. Actually, Blaine helped me get it running. There was some kind of certificate problem, whatever, and it worked, so I gotta give it a little do right there. There's also a new Gnopix, not Nopix, Gnopix. Well, first, there actually is a new Nopix. September 5th, a new version came out, so download that. And a new version of Nopix called Gnopix. And instead of using KDE, it uses GNOME. And I downloaded it, tried it out. I think it's a 0.53. And, well, it it wasn't quite Nopix. Video quite didn't quite work very well. It seemed a little slower. It was all in German. Yeah, you know, that's the whole German thing, you know. Maybe there's an English version, or maybe I could make it English, I don't know. So I wasn't really that pleased with it. But check it out, you know, I was kind of happy, you know, I'd like to use GNOME with Nopix, but it was not to be.
Which pack?
What's that?
Can't you just set the language pack somehow upon boot, or?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I didn't, you know, I just booted up and tried it, you know. You know, here's the thing. Everybody has a lot to live up to because of Knopper, right? That guy is the freaking shizzle. I mean, he has made, you know, one of the greatest CDs in the world is Knopix. Seriously.
I hear sirens.
Yeah, hopefully that's not for me. That's fire, by the way. So we're okay. You know, everybody's got a lot to live up to with that. So I just wanted to throw it in and see how it worked. And wasn't too pleased. Only because I'm jaded because of Knopix. I want to make some phone calls. I don't know how much longer we have, but I want to make some phone calls. Wait a minute, I think I have some more notes. Phone calls and a book review. I'll tell you what, Blaine, can you just hang on to that book review?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, next week. Actually, are we going to record live?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hook it up. We're going to be recording at the Bland household. And Bland has got an awesome book review. Actually, a book that I looked at and I was really impressed with it. He actually got it and read it and said it's kick-ass. I actually went and looked for it, and the bookstore didn't have it, so I was kind of pissed, but we will have a book review, a really good book review for a really quality book next week. Let's make some phone calls. You're probably getting tired anyways, right, Stank?
Yeah, I guess I need to be off here. Bland, why don't you start off with that number I gave you, though? That'll probably be a good number to start with and then move into to whatever else you guys have.
Okay.
All right, start with that one, and then I can't wait to hear the rest of the show when you upload it. So
awesome, man. Hey, man, thanks for staying up late. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Having me as usual, and let's try to get you on next week on Ben Rev Radio.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Later.
Later.
Okay, Bland.
Yes.
All right, what's this number? Are you going to dial it? You got three-way now.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know how that's going to sound, though. I actually don't think it's going to sound very good.
Let's do some field testing on that before we...
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll hang on to that number. We got a good number for you in the future as well next week. We'll probably have a lot of good things for you next week. I've got a number here that is...
Wait.
What?
Hank wants us to open with this one, man.
You're going to give it to me right now?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. What is it?
1-800-333-9566.
Okay.
Hank said he had this shit on speed dial, so,
Who had it on speed dial?
Hank.
He has it on speed dial?
Yeah.
Okay, let's... All right, hold on. Fucker. Oh, God. All right, hold on. I can just imagine.
Thank you for calling Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. We appreciate you taking the time to call us. We are available to take your calls Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please call back during our regular business.
What the fuck did she say?
Thank you for calling Cracker Barrel Corner.
I couldn't understand a damn word she said. She had a biscuit in her mouth right then, didn't she?
You don't speak hillbilly.
I guess. Because they're fucking stuffing chicken fried, fucking fried chicken covered with gravy down their fucking throats. What the fuck is she saying?
Like, thank you for calling Cracker Barrel.
Thank you for calling Cracker Barrel. I mean a fucking cheese covered gravy bathed biscuit right now. Fuck.
Oh.
That is sick, dude. What can you buy there? Like, gravy in a 5-gallon bucket? I mean.
Well, you know, that would be actually a. You know, don't say that because it's going to ruin your Christmas. I'll just...
Oh, shit. Dude, that's what we should have got to thank for his birthday, man.
Dude, we... Okay. Oh, no, I'm not going to do it.
All right, not on the air, at least?
Well, you know, it would be cool. Here's what we should... No one tell Stank.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Okay, Stank, turn the show off now.
Stank, yeah, mute the show. We all need to kick in and get Stank like a $10,000 gift certificate to the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Oh, dude. He's going to, oh my God, when he's like 40, he's going to weigh 600 pounds, man.
And plus, the operative word is cracker. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've been to Cracker Barrel, and it was tormenting.
Here's the thing. Whenever I go to a new restaurant, well, up until about a month ago when I started the diet, whenever I'd go to a new restaurant, the first thing I would try was the chicken fried steak. Because
ugh.
You can't fuck off chicken fried steak.
It's so bad already, you mean. Fuck.
It's a piece of meat that you deep fry and you pour gravy all over.
Ugh.
Hard to fuck that up.
Huh.
So I go to Cracker Barrel, and I'm like, yeah, give me the chicken fried steak. Bring it to me, and it tasted like rhino ass.
Yeah, yes. Yes, that's the whole point. And they got that stupid little peg game.
That's just fun, though.
Ah, whatever. That is dumb. Fucking, they like got this fucking, you know, junior high, you know, sweat shop class going, fucking making these things. And then you put the golf tees. Fuck that place. All the fucking bacon grease and biscuits. Disgusting. You know what I live on? I live on Mexican food. And no, not Taco Bell. I live on Mexican food. Like Filibertos, Los Betos, Rivas. You know, like, you know what it is? It's like the freaking roach coach in a building, man. That's what it is. That's what I live on, straight up. I'm eating burritos all the time. Big, gigantic burritos that are less than $3 and could feed a family of four. That's what I eat daily.
I live on taco truck, you know, which I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the taco truck.
Hell yeah.
And Indian food.
Indian food as in?
Like lamb palakwala.
Okay, not Native American food.
No.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah, I dig Indian food. You know, I used to live on fast food sushi. That was my favorite.
Yep.
Right? In the PHX, there's tons of places that give you, you know, you can go get some maguro, right? Get some anari. Live it up, man. I used to live on that stuff. And the Mexican food. Now it's just Mexican food. Okay, side note there, by the way. Yeah, Cracker Barrel is disgusting. Now we're going to call... And I think I saw this on TV. And this is probably a number for C4 and Gamer. Hold on one second. Oh, crap. Letters again.
Welcome to the Final Fantasy Tactics Advance phone line. To hear more about Marche, please press 1. To hear from Ritz, press
2.
To hear from Mute, press
3. Mute! Okay, 3.
To hear more about Marche, please press 1.
Hello, this is Mute. Most of my classmates tease me at school. They make fun of me because I carry around a memento from my mother. They treat my friends Marche, Rick, Donet, and me like outsiders.
Me?
They don't like us. Something has changed all that. You see, I found this old book at this curious bookshop a while ago. And since then, it has transported my friends and I to the fantasy world of Evil East. Not all of my friends want us to remain here. Marche, in fact, wants to go back to the real world. But to do so, he must destroy the crystals that have warped our reality. I don't want to let him. I think I need to stop him. Come and help me decide what to do in Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, only on Game Boy Advance, rated E for everyone.
Nice, that was rad. Good job, Mute.
Mute, I don't know, he always sounds a little more manly when I talk to him.
Yeah, he sounds a lot younger now.
And that's probably like a younger incarnation of pre-nut-dropping Mute.
Yeah, who's playing with books and crystals. Dude, I'm sending that number to C4. And C4, I want you to record everything off of that thing. That's going to be rad. Okay, before I end, I want to, you know, I said Johnny Mnemonic, and that's like one of my favorite movies. That is a rad movie. You seen it, Bland?
Oh.
What?
Oh, I haven't.
Oh my, well, I will buy it for you. It is a rad movie. And it's actually, and it made me think of Meme. It's one of Meme's favorites as well. And I miss Meme. It's been a long time. Right? She's kind of, you know, she does her own thing. So, you know, yeah. You know, we, you know, get what we can, right? Take what we can when she's around. So, Meme, I miss you. And I think I'll watch some Johnny and Monic tonight. And you're going to be watching it this weekend, dude. Johnny and Monic is rad. Thank you, Blant. You stayed up late as well.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Show kicks ass this week.
Yeah, it did, definitely. It's nice to have Stank back on. And save your lungs, my friend. We will smoke together.
Boot.
All right, everybody. This has been RFA. Later.